speaking about things they've seen on the TV. Speaking about things insensibly. They're watching rubbish show so that you don't have to. Then they'll watch another. They'll watch with mothers. Okay.
Is it podcast 32?
Yeah.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to podcast...
Sorry.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to podcast number 32 from watchwithmothers.net. My name is Swineshead. Hello. And I'm here with Napoleon.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year to you. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you very much. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm actually sitting in a winter wonderland at the moment.
Of snow and more snow and all that. Is it gusting down like off of a Christmas card?
Gusting, not really. It's kind of falling.
So it's not swirling. Do you know, sometimes snow swirls.
Yeah, it's not so much swirling. It's more tumbling is the word I'd use.
Tumbling? Well, yeah. I'd say swirling because you've got the... do you know, like those glass things... They're a piece of glass in a dome shape with a bit of plastic on the bottom, and there's usually a snowman inside, and you turn them upside down and it all swirls around.
Do you mean like the kind Archie Mitchell had?
In EastEnders.
Yeah.
Which was, I think, it used to belong to his girls. He loved his girls, even though he managed to murder two of their babies.
He did, yes.
Yes. Well, anyway, is it like that? Are you like you're in the middle of a plastic dome with a plastic bit on the bottom and a snowman? Do you feel like the snowman inside one of those?
Only if I move to Centre Parks, I might do.
Right. Well, can you get to Centre Parks?
Well, how much? Where is Centre Parks?
It's in Sherwood Forest, isn't it? In Nottinghamshire.
Right, that's not too far. That's the Midlands, so...
Right, you're in London, aren't you? So
3 hours on an intercity, two hours
intercity. I mean, you'd have to go to what, Peterborough. So you're going King's Cross, aren't you?
Yeah.
Right. So how far from King's Cross are you from your house now?
Oh, number 30 bus. I could get there 20 minutes.
Right, number 30 bus. King's Cross. You need to get King's Cross to Peterborough. Peterborough, you'd have to. In fact, no, you wouldn't. You'd need King's Cross to Newark. You could do. So that's going to take you, what, 2.5 hours? Newark to Nottingham, you're looking at, about another half hour. So you're probably talking in total about a 3.5 hour journey?
Yeah, 3 hours. So if I set off now, I could be recreating a Christmas snow globe scene by, 6 o'clock?
Right, well, you better get on.
Right, should we do a preamble then?
Yeah, well, are you not going to Nottingham?
No, I've just discarded that idea because I've remembered we're doing a podcast.
Oh, well, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
So are you a big fat bastard now, are you?
I've always been a big fat bastard.
Well, no, you haven't. I remember you as a boy, you weren't big and fat.
Well, in adulthood, I mean. Do you mean because of Christmas excesses?
Exactly. I'm assuming you stuffed your face with sprouts and turnips and turkeys and all that, did you?
I had quite a lean Christmas, actually. As you know, I went away before the festive period, so I returned home to empty cupboards and I ate chicken bones on Christmas Day.
You ate chicken bones like a dog?
Sort of like a dog, yeah.
Right, you shouldn't really give chicken bones to a dog.
Well, they'll choke, won't they?
Yeah, well, yeah, because the bones... In fact, you shouldn't really give bones to a dog. You know, people who have dogs will know this, apart from the ones that give them bones, obviously. But you're not meant to give bones to a dog, because apparently they can splinter, and the splinters go into their bellies, well, their stomachs, and all hell breaks loose.
Well, I imagine it does. I managed to get a present off-peaked in the end.
Did you? Was it as good as my book on pub names, which I'm still reading in the toilet? Thank you very much, Peaked.
In some senses, Napoleon, it was better than that, and in some senses, it was far, far worse.
Okay, what was it?
Well, I suppose imagine he'd bought you a book on pubs, lovely.
Lovely, it was very good.
But it was a book in Spanish.
Ah, right, yeah, that wouldn't have been so good, because I can't speak Spanish.
Well, exactly, so he's got me some lovely slippers, top-of-the-range boutique.
Oh, aye, from London?
Italian, I believe.
Ooh, from Italy?
Yeah, from some part of Italy, and they're 5 sizes too small.
Right, so what he's done there is he's bought himself a pair of slippers on his last holiday to Italy, decided he didn't like them, and has given them you for Christmas.
Oh, I wouldn't have gone that far. What I thought was who judged me by his own foot standards, but now you've got me thinking.
Yeah, well, this is... I don't want to name names, but my auntie this year gave me a candlestick and it was bloody hideous, yeah, for Christmas, yeah? And her brother, my uncle, got the self-same candlestick. Now, that led me to believe, call me cynical if you like, but that led me to believe that she bought them as a pair, split them up, and gave us half each.
Right, I think what you've done there is you've named names.
Have I?
How many aunties have you got?
One.
We're watching TV in our pants. Get out the mini chanders. It's watch with mothers.
Right, well, yeah, now we're going to be doing a review of all the magical Christmas television we watched this year, aren't we?
Well, yeah, but in The Grasshopper, we kind of realised we didn't actually see that much.
No, I spent most of the Christmas period, like I'd promised, a bit pissed. But for the most part, apart from going to the pub and stuff like that, most of the telly I watched was repeats of Only Fools and Horses.
Are we talking solely Christmas specials or across the board?
Yeah, Gold, or G-O-L-D as they now like to call themselves. They used to be called Gold, didn't they?
What does that stand for, G-O-L-D?
G-O-L-D, Go On Laugh Daily.
Are you serious? Is that what it
means? No. I'm not. Go On Laugh Daily. That's what they say their full name is. It used to be UK Gold, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now it's Go On Laugh Daily.
That's terrible.
That's catchy, isn't it?
No, it's awful.
Yeah, awful. Well, anyway, they showed them all, mate. Yeah, you name them. You name the Christmas specials. They showed them all.
Did they show normal run-of-the-mill Only Fools?
The occasional one, yeah. The one where the dog was in it.
Right.
Do you remember the one with the dog?
Is that the one where the canary dies?
No, Boycey's dog. He's called Duke, isn't he? Boycey.
Yeah, big dog, yeah.
Yeah, he gets a big dog. They had that one on, but I only caught the end of that. But they had them all. They had them all. You name them.
Marlene.
They had all that, yeah? Yeah. Buster Merrifield, your Del Boy, your Rodney, your Mike from the Nag's Head. Your Mickey Pierce.
He's good, but he looks like he's been on crack for the past 10 years.
Days. They brought him back, didn't they? Just after Albert had died. Mickey Pierce didn't look well, quite frankly.
You know where I think it all went downhill?
After they said they weren't making any more, then they made three more?
No, before that.
Really?
Way before that, yeah.
When?
As soon as Rodney put on a suit,
right,
it all went downhill.
Started going out with some of those episodes after that are classic episodes.
Yeah, name an episode that's classic.
Right, the one where, hold on, bear with me. The one where Del falls through the hatch. That's post Rodney suit era.
Yeah, that is a classic.
That is a classic, mate. The Batman one, that's a classic.
That's a terrible episode.
That's not a terrible one. The one where they win 6 mil, that's a classic.
That is not a classic.
Watch out, Trotter's about. Watch out, Trotter's about. You better watch out, cause Beetle's about. I mean, Trotter's about, you see?
For listeners who are wondering what that kind of weird rubbing noise is...
Well, that...
Napoleon's got himself a new microphone which is attached to his face, sort of like Madonna used to wear like a Virgin tour.
Or a call centre worker.
And so every time he moves his head, which he does quite a lot, we're going to have background noise, which is convenient.
Yeah, as humans do. I mean, a lot of humans move their head quite a lot, don't they?
Yeah, but it's not always accompanied by a rattling noise, is it?
Is it really wobbly? I mean, if I go like this, hang on. Was that wobbly?
Yeah, so maybe don't do that, and also don't sing Trotter's About.
What happens if I do it? Watch out, Trotter's About. Is that any better? I'm holding the earphone as a la Live Aid.
Should we talk about Christmas telly?
Yeah, sure. What did you watch this Christmas?
I watched Well, the first thing I saw, well, it wasn't the first thing I saw it on Boxing Day, actually.
Right, so that's a lie.
Well, it wasn't, because I retracted it immediately.
No, but it was still a lie. A lie's a lie.
Okay, I saw a programme on Boxing Day called The All-Star Impressions Show.
Oh, that sounds horrendous.
Napoleon, it was worse than horrendous. It was probably the low point of the entire Christmas schedule. ITV, it ploughed new ground.
Was it, did Philip Schofield have anything to do with it?
It was sub-Scof.
Really?
Oh yeah, way below that.
So if they did a Dancing on Ice special where it was Mr. Blobby, Bobby Ball, Bobby... No, actually, this is sounding good. No, carry on.
Okay, so what it was, have you heard of Stephen Mulhern?
Stephen Mulhern? Is he one of these newfangled celebrities that nobody's ever heard of?
He was the presenter of the All-Star Impression Show.
Oh, right, no.
He's done a bit of time on Extra Factor over on ITV2, and this was his shot at the big league.
Right, I have seen the Extra Factor, but I don't really remember who presented it. I thought it was Willie Hollaby.
Yeah, I think he stands in for Willie Hollaby.
Holly's Willoughbys. You know what I mean?
I know what I mean?
You know what I'm referring to there?
So some of the grade A impressions they had, excuse me, on this show.
Are you going to do some?
I'm not going to do the... Well, we can try it if you want, but they
we'll have. We'll give it a go, yeah. We'll give it a go in the name of entertainment.
Well, why not? But Eamon Holmes. You know Eamon Holmes?
Right, hang on, let me write this down. Right, Eamon Holmes, yep, go on.
As Elvis.
So that's going to sound like... How's that going to sound?
Well, like an Irishman badly doing an Elvis impression.
No, wait a minute. Can you do an Irish voice?
Oh, to be sure.
Right, so do that, but sing an Elvis.
Oh, well, actually, he sang a Mud track, Lonely This Christmas, which I don't think it's got anything to do with Elvis.
Obviously, it was supposed to sound like Elvis, but so it'd be, oh, try to imagine Christmas all alone, like that.
Well, it'll be lonely this Christmas.
This Christmas without you to hold, like that, wouldn't it?
It was a bit like that. It was dreadful, but that wasn't the worst thing on it.
Right, go on.
Right, you had Bobby Davrow.
Bobby Ball?
No, Bobby Davrow playing Chris Tarrant.
Bobby Davrow playing Chris Tarrant?
Right, it's probably best if you don't repeat these back as I say them.
Right.
Right, so we had Bobby Davrow playing Chris Tarrant interviewing Gary Barlow as played by Les Dennis in a bath.
Right, I've got as far as Bobby Davrow playing Chris Tarrant interviewing... Did you say Les Dennis?
Gary Barlow as played by Les Dennis in a
bath. Gary, wait a minute, Gary Barlow, as played by Les Dennis, did you say?
Yeah, Les Dennis.
Les Dennis. In a bath.
In a bath.
Right, hang on, let me just run this. Bobby Davrow playing Chris Tarrant interviewing Gary Barlow as played by Les Dennis in a bath.
Yeah, so...
Well, how are we going to do that?
How are we going to do that?
Yeah. Are you going to be Bobby Davrow? Am I going to be Bobby Davrow?
Who says we have to play the parts? We want nothing to do with this show.
That's what we've just agreed on.
No, you can't.
Can you do Bobby Davrow? He says, "Oh, hello, I'm Bobby Davrow." So I'll be Bobby Davrow. You be Les Dennis.
Oh, yeah, but why do we have to be them?
Well, we're being right. So I'm playing Bobby Davrow, who's doing an impression of Chris Tarrant, and you're doing Les Dennis doing an impression of Gary Barlow. Can you do Les Dennis doing Gary Barlow?
Well, I don't really know Vera. That's what.
Oh, Vera! I don't really know that. And you say that, and I'll come back as Bobby Davrow's Chris Tarrant.
I don't really know Vera.
Oh. Right. Who was next?
They also had. There was this weird bit where it went into Family Fortunes.
Right.
And we had someone I don't recognise playing Paul O'Grady.
Playing Paul O'Grady?
Yeah, and he was the host of Family Fortunes in this parallel world, because Paul O'Grady in the real world isn't actually the host of Family Fortunes.
No, he's briefly the host of Blankety Blank. For shame, for shame!
And then you had the entire... Well, you know you got the family on Family Fortunes.
In this
It was the Windsors. In the royal family.
How dare they?
So, right, you had Les Dennis as Prince Charles, brilliant.
Right, yeah, I can see that.
You had Vanessa Feltz as Camilla.
That's disrespectful.
That's disrespectful. You had someone I don't recognise as the Queen.
Well, probably that woman who plays the Queen.
You had Chesney Hawkes as Prince Edward, I think, maybe.
Jesus.
Then you had, get this one, as Prince Philip, Tony Blackburn. Now, is that high-quality entertainment or
that? And what? That's on Boxing Day, is it?
That's on ITV prime time.
Right. I mean, spin back a few years and they had Morecambe and Wise.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it?
I was going to say, should we do an impression of that? But I'm not doing an impression of that.
It's not deserving of an impression.
No, it's not. No, that's disgusting. Shame on you, ITV. Shame on you.
Even worse than that.
There was more.
Joe Pasquale came on and did a routine. He did a routine. How is he getting primetime routines?
Well, what did he? What? Just a comedy routine?
He came on, did impressions that weren't even impressions.
How does a man with a voice like that do an impression of anybody?
Well, it's hard to explain. You'd have to watch it yourself, but in order to watch it yourself, you'd have to put yourself through the mill.
Is there any possible chance you could do an impression of Joe Pasquale doing an impression of somebody else?
No.
For instance, Lee Marvin.
No, that's not.
John
that's
Wayne?
Not happen.
John Wayne?
What does John Wayne say?
Get off your horse and drink your milk, pilgrim.
Well, do that as Joe Pasquale.
As Joe Pasquale, hang on. Get off your horse and drink your milk, pilgrim. Actually, that works.
Father, is there anywhere on the internet I could go for informative television reviews?
Yes, my boy, there is. It's called Watch With Mothers. You'll find it incredibly informative, despite the fact that it's written by the mentally challenged.
Thank you, Father.
Right, well, that covers the All-Star Impression show.
Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, you fat bastard. Hey.
So what would you like to talk about?
EastEnders.
Ah, the king of TV.
The daddy.
Have you bothered yet with the online EastEnders spin-off?
No, and I never will.
Me either. Let's move on to the proper EastEnders.
Okay, exactly. There's only one EastEnders in my mind, apart from that episode they did where Frank was running a hotel with a series of comedy characters.
Are you moving your head a lot at the moment?
No, I'm not, no. So, can we move on?
Yes. So, EastEnders.
Right, EastEnders, yes. I assumed you watched it over Christmas, did you?
I watched a lot, the whole blinking lot, after catching up with 3 hours of it after my trip away.
Right. Did you enjoy the usual seasonal misery coming from Albert Square?
I did, actually, because it had an element of your Poirot or your Mrs. Marple in that you could see the whodunit coming, couldn't you?
Well, yeah, because I'd seen the front cover of TV Choice magazine. So, yeah.
I always avoid looking at those in the newsagent.
Yeah, well, unfortunately for me, my local Tesco's, the queue that you queue up when you go to shops.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've heard of that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, along the queue, all the way along there, well, past the usual Cadbury's fair, obviously.
That a fair?
Next thing along, you've got Heat Magazine, which is for idiots, by the way. If you listen to this, you read Heat Magazine, sod off, you're an idiot. Anyway, you've got that, and then you've got all the TV magazines. Every single bloody one of them, every week, as on the cover, well, it just spoils EastEnders every week.
Yeah, I don't know why people read them and watch EastEnders. Like, you'd have to make a choice between one or the other, because otherwise, what's the point of watching TV when you know exactly what's going to happen?
Well, that's it. I mean, this is why this year I was actually genuinely surprised when the cliffhanger ending of the New Year's Eve marriage thing, which we'll obviously get to in a minute, but wasn't what I expected it to be. Because usually I know exactly what's going to bloody happen in EastEnders, courtesy of these sodding magazines.
Which you don't even read.
Yeah, I don't read, and yet everywhere I glance down, oh, bloody hell, that's happening. Hey, shit!
Sorry about that.
Jesus Christ, I thought I was going to attack by a lion!
Sorry, sneezy. Most people say bless you.
Yeah, well, you know, not when it's right coming in my fucking ear hole.
Where were we?
EastEnders.
Yes. The Indian wedding. Pakistani wedding, sorry.
Pakistani. It wasn't Indian. That would have made it a Hindu wedding, whereas this was a Muslim wedding, wasn't it?
Indeed, yes.
Yes. Now, I used to live up the road from a Muslim family, and I can say, I don't know if you have done yourself, that was pretty, pretty much spot on what went on there, apart from the horse. I don't think they could afford a horse.
Well, when I was living in Hackney, actually, on the Graham Road...
Right. What, is that named after Graham?
Yeah, it's named after Graham off of That's Life, I think.
Oh, right, that's nice. Adrian.
You say you lived up the road from a Muslim family. You probably do at the moment, but you just don't know about it.
Well, I probably live... I live amongst loads of Muslims. I mean, it's mainly in my block. It's mainly Indian... Well, Indian and Pakistani, Bangladeshi, what have you, and a lot of Oriental people, because a lot of the people around here, they're training to be medical students, what have you.
Well, there you go. But one day...
Yeah, so I live near loads of people like that, so there. So before you accuse me of only ever living near one Muslim family, I live near loads, so there.
That was my point, but anyway...
A lot of my neighbours are Muslims.
I was looking out the window in Hackney on the Graham off of That's Life Road.
Not Adrian,
no, not that little shit.
I quite liked him.
Two white horses were walking down the road with people atop them, and
Yeah,
lots of drums banging, and I thought... When I watched EastEnders, I thought, that's actually quite authentic, according to my experience.
That's exactly what I thought, but obviously I was a bit shady on the horse, because this lot, well, they couldn't afford a horse. Well, I assume they couldn't afford a horse. It wasn't exactly the richest area in the world, so I'm assuming they've still got all the drummers and all the shit outside, that cloth they had and all that business.
Yeah, all that business.
Everywhere,
yeah.
All the lights and all that. They all had all that, but they just didn't have the horse. Well, not that I saw, anyway.
But that's New Year anyway, that's not Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah, that's not Christmas, no. But I mean, well, Christmas, New Year, it's the same thing. So anyway, that whole thing, the only thing I didn't like about the whole New Year's EastEnders storyline was I was a bit sick of seeing men crying their eyes out. It was a very watery-eyed set of episodes, that.
Well, Phil Mitchell, drunk, has watery eyes, but he wasn't crying.
He has watery eyes, yeah. Denise had watery eyes, Libby had watery eyes. They all had... Christian was crying for, I think, about 3 weeks.
Well, you say crying. Did you... You remember Matthew, who used to be in EastEnders? He got framed by Steve Owen.
Oh, yeah, over the murder of Saskia.
That's right. They said to him, I think it was on Frank Skinner's chat show, they said to him, how do you summon those tears into your eyes? And he just went, oh, we get droppers.
Was that it?
So they just used pipettes.
Well, I always used to read those things of, oh, how do you start crying on screen and what have you? And they say, oh, I always think of a favourite dog or my mum dying. Me, I mean, all you need is kick them in the nuts.
That doesn't necessarily make you cry, does it?
Yeah, well, it makes your eyes water. That makes it look like you cry. Anyway, it's not manly.
What, to cry?
Yeah, it's not manly.
When was
all
the
these
last
people
time...
on that show weren't being manly enough. Not even the women.
When was the last time you cried?
About 1992.
Can you remember when it was over?
No, I tell a lie, when the dog died.
Yeah, I was going to say, what about when Eric died?
Yeah, I was in floods then, mate.
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, I well
Thanks
up...
Thanks for ruining that for me.
Sorry, but I well up...
The boy!
The slightest provocation, I can get a tear in my eye.
Well, you're a very emotional man, whereas I have very few emotions.
What
other emotions? Than rage.
Yeah, I was going to say, what emotions do you have?
Yeah, fury, rage, anger, vengeance. Is that an emotion?
Not really, is it?
The lust for vengeance?
Lust for vengeance is an emotion.
Lust.
Yeah.
I got a lot of lust, both that way and for vengeance.
Do you get ennui?
No, that's French.
Thierry ennui?
Thierry, I don't get that, no.
Do you get
French.
Lethargic at all?
No, not really, no.
I'd say those are my two principal emotions. Are they emotions?
Well, but what, being tired? That's not an emotion.
Well, I'm too tired to have emotions.
Well, yeah, whereas I've just got a heart of stone, I think, to be honest.
EastEnders.
So, anyway, that's the New Year's was all right, but not manly enough, whereas Christmas, there was a murder, wasn't there?
There was blood all over the shop. An old man like
Squire,
that...
Squire, there's been a murder!
An old man like that, you wouldn't think he'd bleed that much, would you?
Well, yeah, because he's still got blood in his head.
No, it all dries up when you hit 50.
It doesn't. Your blood doesn't dry up. You'd be dead if your blood dried up.
You slowly start to sort of self-embalm without even knowing it. It's true.
Well, yeah, but how's your organs all function and what have you?
I read it in a book.
You read it in a book, did you? Yeah, what's this, the book of spurious medical facts?
So Archie bled, even though an old man wouldn't bleed like that.
Yeah, would. Old men bleed. Old men, you take it from me, mate, old men bleed.
So then someone lost a fingernail. I reckon that could be Phil Mitchell's fingernail.
Yeah, Phil was a bit pissed at Christmas, wasn't he?
Maybe he dressed up as a lady.
He certainly did. He got that Phil face, which you've pointed out on several occasions, that Phil piss face, which was fun.
He's a very happy drunk, actually.
He is a happy drunk, isn't he? Yeah, you expect him to be an incredibly violent drunk, but for most of the time, Phil's really jolly.
Yeah, he looks like, dare I say it, good company when he's drunk.
He does indeed, yeah. And, well, except for, you know those kind of drunks that are really, really good fun, then all of a sudden they turn on a sixpence.
I know them very well, I was
one. Exactly, yeah, that's what he seems to me like, that, you know, you'd have good time with, a bit like Oliver Reed. I tell you, it was great. It was brilliant when it going out with Ollie last night, right up until the moment he smashed me in the face.
Well, you know, and I think... Sorry.
You, carry on.
No, you continue.
You carry on!
I was just going to say, you can measure these things by the number of drinks imbibed, can't you? So by maybe the sixth or seventh pint, that's when things get nasty.
Well, yeah, and I would say that the writers on EastEnders don't actually know how alcohol works as well, because they can have their characters drinking up to 3 bottles of vodka a day, and then by the application of a few splashes of water onto the face and several cups of coffee, suddenly they're sober again. That's how you get sober in cartoons.
They also don't know how the Muslim faith works, clearly, because they had all of the masoods singing Christmas carols, which I think is
they
an insult
indeed.
To Allah.
Yeah, but that's the EastEnders way. I mean, I think it's not racist to say that as a general rule, the British public house is not the natural home of the Muslim.
I would agree with you, whereas it's a very multicultural environment, particularly, obviously, in major cities such as the ones we live in.
A lot of Muslims in London, do they go to the pub?
That's what I was going to say. You find an awful lot of African, West Indian, people from all over the world, but you don't see that many Muslims, certainly not in full dress.
And why is that?
Because alcohol is banned by Allah.
It is frowned upon in their religion. So therefore, perhaps, the writers of Easter, which to their credit, have treated a different ethnicity a bit better than they usually do. With the masseuse. I'll give them that. They seem to have done the research a bit, but they have kind of turned their back on that whole alcohol's bad thing by having them regularly in the boozer.
They also have turned their back on everyone from, the oriental parts of Asia.
They can't do them yet. It's a bit like, do you remember that episode, the series of episodes they did from Ireland?
That was
big God and big Jesus here. I say, welcome to the Emerald Isle. All that, yeah. That's the sort of cultural shit you usually get with EastEnders.
And you're right, actually, because I remember they did have one Oriental girl, very attractive young lady, who was going out with Mickey Miller.
That's right.
She found a warm cupboard, and being of Vietnamese descent, she obviously started growing marijuana in it as soon as she possibly could.
Indeed she did, yes, because that's what they do, that lot. Exactly, yeah. So, you know, in that they were being factually accurate.
I'm not really sure where we can go with that. Shall we move on?
Yeah, anyway, yeah, that was EastEnders. Merry Christmas.
I got this hideous diarrhea coming out of my anus. I'd rather be reading a watch with mothers. I've got this diarrhea. It really needs eating.
And so on to the final part. What's up?
We just... Go on, tell them.
Well, you know, I was trying to be professional and just not disclose that.
Tell them.
Well, you screwed up again, didn't you?
Yeah, but no, I didn't. It all went tits up thanks to this fucking ailing computer. We lost loads. Essentially, to sum up, I was moaning that they keep ending Holby City storylines with ghosts. And I was moaning about that. So anyway, let's move on. Hope this doesn't screw up. What are we talking about now?
What kind of machine are you running over there?
It's one of these Dell buggers, isn't it? But it's got all funny innards.
Right. I'm on a Mac.
Yeah, piece of shit.
Still works though, doesn't it?
Yeah, for about 5 minutes. I'm not delving into that. Let's just say you're wrong.
I would like to talk about Come Dine With Me at Christmas.
Come dine with me, come dine with me, hello.
Yeah, those are the words.
Is that how it goes?
It was a good one this Christmas. They had...
Well, I doubt that.
They had Hannah Waterman, you know who she is?
Off of Dennis Waterman.
Yep, she was...
She's made from Dennis Waterman's semen.
Yeah, and some other lady's ovum.
That'll be Rula Lenska.
No.
Yeah, well, he was married to Rula Lenska.
Ooh.
So if you imagine Rula Lenska's eggs meeting Dennis Waterman's seed in the 70s, next thing you know, you've got yourself a Hannah Waterman. So the
probably
next time
the
you meet
story.
Hannah Waterman, you'll be sitting there thinking, she's made from Dennis Waterman's semen.
What you could do, listeners, were you to want to kind of picture that in the physical world, is you could get a tadpole, paint it white with some Tippex, grab an egg, somehow make it transparent, and then just smash the two together.
Yeah, but you'd have to have them saying something so that the egg would be going, "Oh, darling, you are wonderful in the Sweeney," and the egg coming in going, "Put your knickers back on, you're nicked," or something like that.
Yeah, she was in it.
What, Rula Lenska?
No, Waterman, Hannah Waterman.
Right.
Then you add someone I can't remember, and another person who they call someone off Loose Women.
And do you know why they're called Loose Women?
No, I don't.
They've all had babies.
Right, she was a disgrace anyway. She was constantly pissed. Is that what they do, the Loose Women? They just get drunk all the
time?
Yeah,
they get pissed and they gossip about how shit men are, because obviously they're all divorced. So they just sit around talking about how shit men are, how fit younger men are, and, just, you know, what women gossip about, which is shoes and shopping, celebrities, all that sort of thing. You know what I mean? Women.
Well, you're being sexist, really, because they don't all talk about that.
And? Is that a crime?
Your headphones making all kinds of noises.
No, it's not.
Right, so, and then there was also the jewel in the crown this episode, David Guest.
David Guest, who is, of course, made from beetroots.
Mostly made from beetroot and also some prosthetics.
Some sort of fuzzy hair. Essentially, you perform plastic hair on a beetroot, then put some fuzzy felt on it and some potato eyes. You know the eyes you pick out of potatoes?
Well, also, I was thinking Mr. Potato Head eyes.
Well, no, little funny potato eye eyes. If you stuck those into a beetroot, performed a bit of surgery on the beetroot, stuck it onto a action man, that'd be about right, wouldn't it? You'd have David Guest.
Right, after multiple attempts, after microphone screwing up, we're back. David Guest.
The Guester, the beetroot man.
Yeah, David Guest. He invites people around for Come Dine With Me.
Indeed.
They walk into what looked like a hotel lobby, and waiting at the doorway were tons of midgets, if you can still call them midgets.
You can still call them midgets, yeah, I think.
Right, there were loads of those dressed up as elves, and then because it was Christmas themed, obviously.
Right.
Then they walked a bit further in. There were Oriental twins in Santa outfits.
Lovely.
Female, sexy Oriental Santas.
Were they dead sexy?
They were... I can't remember. You only really got a flash of them on screen, so... just for the concept, they were sexy.
Right.
So
I'm with you.
The guests moved on into the main room, and who was stood there but the corpse of Mickey Rooney?
Burt Reynolds.
Mickey Rooney.
Oh, Mickey Rooney. Right, yeah, go on.
And he's a very old man now. So they all stood there singing Jingle Bells, surrounded by this, is it a coterie?
A coterie. Is that anything to do with coats?
It's a haberdashery of strange people.
All right, I'll fair dues.
And then they ate some shitty Christmas dinner. It was a great episode. This feels a bit disjointed, to be honest.
It's, to be fair with you, I mean, I've tried watching Come Dance With Me before. Come Dine With Me, not Come Dance With Me, Come Dancing. I've seen that as well with from the Tower Ballroom in Blackpool. Do you remember that?
Yeah, we're talking about dining, not dancing.
Well, anyway, I've seen this come dine with me rubbish before, and it was dreadful what I watched of it. Admittedly, I only watched about 8 minutes.
Yeah, well, you need to make more of an effort.
Well, I don't want to, because I'm not interested in watching people cooking or eating food.
Are you really not interested in watching people cooking food?
No, not particularly, no.
What if it's Keith Floyd?
No, wasn't that interested in that either, to be fair.
Well, come on, Keith Floyd is interesting, isn't he?
Yeah, it was all right, but I would have preferred it if it had been Keith Floyd doing other things than cooking. I found the cooking bit to be the least interesting bit of the show.
Right, but that's all Keith Floyd does.
Well, no, it's not, you see, because he did all manner of other stuff, such as reeling about on a boat, trying to cook, didn't mind that, shouting at the producer, didn't mind that, pointing out lovely bits of the French countryside, didn't mind that, drinking loads, didn't mind that. You know, there was loads of things the bugger did, I didn't mind. But the thing I did mind him doing was cooking food. I'm not interested in watching people cooking food. In the same way, I'm not interested in watching people cleaning toilets or painting walls. It's why I didn't watch the wall one, painting walls, didn't watch that, changing rooms, didn't watch that. I don't watch How Clean Is Your House. Not interested in watching people clean. You see,
if you say you like Floyd doing all that stuff, but he did that while cooking.
Yeah,
so
well,
basically
not all of it.
If you took the cooking out, you'd just have Keith Floyd doddering about on a boat.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that. I'd watch that.
Right, so if you took the cooking out of Come Dine With Me, you'd just have... Ooh, that would be saucy.
Well, would it? I don't know. Why is the sex goes on, is there?
Well, come with me.
Well, come with me, yeah. Well, that's a bit saucy.
So what would happen if you took the cooking out of all the other cookery shows?
Well, hopefully they wouldn't be on anymore. MasterChef, there'd be no reason for that to exist, and that's a good thing in my eyes.
Well, you could have that. You'd just call it Master... and have Greg Wallace and John Turode.
Are those two fat twats?
You're rattling over there?
Yeah, this is for the benefit of the readers, listeners. This has turned into a bad-tempered podcast, hasn't it? We've had an argument, haven't we?
Well, you broke Google.
I didn't break Google, for a start, and I wasn't being bad against people or anything like that. We've had an argument. Essentially, I've established that you're a shit, and I think we'll agree to disagree.
Well, I think you're a bad egg.
Well, I'm not a bad egg, and we'll agree to disagree that you're a shit and I'm not.
Right, well, yeah, let's do that, because we've got to get on with a new segment of the show.
Hey!
Hooray!
Happy New Year!
Well, yeah, fresh start. Should old acquaintance be forgot?
Could you say Happy New Year in a really... in a way that didn't mean it?
Happy New Year.
Yeah, that sounded begrudging, that, didn't it?
Yeah, can you do it?
Hang on. Yeah, Happy New Year.
There you go.
Like that.
Right, so a new section of the show. It's called...
Oh, what's it called? What's it called?
Well, we should have just had a swanky new jingle saying what it's called, but it's called...
Is the jingle going to go along the lines of, oh, it's the new bit of the show, what's it going to be called? I don't know. Is that all right?
Along those lines.
Yeah,
but it's
except
called,
obviously... Oh, go on.
The Underwhelming Celebrity Encounter.
Right.
You came up with the concept. Do you want to talk us through?
I did indeed. A few years back on my blog. Do you remember that, when I used to do that?
Well, you still do on and off, don't you?
Occasionally, yeah, but not as much as I do. But I am going to be resurrecting it quite soon. It's just I've had a lot on. But, yeah, back in the midst of time, when my blog was quite good, I asked readers to come up with their most underwhelming celebrity encounters. And a fair few of them got in touch and essentially fundamentally misunderstood the rules. So they were saying, oh, I've met Madonna, I've met so-and-so, and blah, 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 blah. Well, that's not underwhelming, is it?
Well, you see, it's the problem is in the title, isn't it? They're not sure whether underwhelming refers to the subject or the object of the sentence.
Right, and So, yeah, well, that's what it does refer to, doesn't it?
Well, the subject is the celebrity and the encounter is the object. They think that underwhelming... What I'm saying is they think the celebrity... It doesn't matter about the celebrity and the encounter has to be underwhelming, such as I met Gary Glitter in a shoe shop. That's wrong.
That's wrong, yeah, because Gary is not an underwhelming celebrity.
He's a huge star.
He's a big star. He's got fans all over the world, especially in the Far East. So, you know, what we're looking for, as to give you an example, I've given the example before, so I'll give you a different example. I once shouted at the bloke who plays the Rancor Monster Keeper in Return of the Jedi from across the street in London. Yeah? And he looked a bit miffed. That is an underwhelming celebrity encounter.
That's an underwhelming celebrity, and it's an encounter.
It's an encounter with an underwhelming celebrity. So, for instance, let's pick a celebrity at random for you to have an encounter with. Say, there's you. You're walking down the street. Yeah. Have you got yourself there, wherever you are?
I can picture the street, yeah.
Right. You're walking down the street. Coming towards you, no less, is Nicky Henson.
Right.
That is an underwhelming celebrity encounter. You don't even know who he is, do you?
No idea, but I'd probably recognise his face.
You'd know his face instantly. He was briefly, for a short time, a character called Jack in EastEnders who played Honey's dad.
Oh, he was in Peep Show as well.
He's been in things since the 1960s. He was that curmudgeonly faced bloke that was usually the friends of the lead character in some swinging 60s bell-bottomed hipster film where they all go under London Bridge in a Mini Cooper with being hip. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean. But
yeah, he's been in films consistently from the 1960s all the way down the line. Yeah? He's been in loads of stuff. You'd know his face. If you encountered him, that would be an underwhelming celebrity encounter. That is the type of character we're after. I think we've made that plain, have we?
Yeah, there's also a little addendum, I think.
An addendum?
An addendum. Which
are we in a gentleman's club?
It's similar to a pudendum.
A pudendum's a different thing.
Right, well, if that man who had played the Rancor Monster Keeper had gone on to Hollywood fame and he was now like a Brian Cox figure...
Exactly.
Then that would be disqualified because he's now a whelming celebrity.
Exactly, he's now whelming. Whereas that man has never been overwhelming or whelming.
He has
indeed been in lots of things. He's that wob-eyed bloke. You know the one I mean?
The one in the Thin Blue Line, I think?
No, he's not in the Thin Blue. What, the Ben Elton thing?
The reception character.
No.
Right, well, that's what I'm saying. He's underwhelming because we're not sure where he's been.
He's got a husky voice. He usually plays Conservative MPs, solicitors, barristers, etc., etc. He's got a slightly piggy face and a wob-eye.
Yeah, he looks a bit like that Leo chap who played Rumpole.
A little bit. You'd know. Essentially, the point is, you'd know him if you saw him.
Well, it's obviously a very simple game because it's only taken us 6 minutes to explain.
Exactly, it hasn't taken very long to explain at all, and it's not in the slightest bit complicated. So, you know, for instance, Breeks, who is a regular reader of the site, came to you and said, "I have met Madonna." That is not an underwhelming celebrity encounter, is it?
That's not even whelming, that's overwhelming.
That's overwhelming, that's unbelievably overwhelming. That's the same as saying, "I met Freddie Mercury," or "I met the Queen," or "I met Queen, and Freddie Mercury, and the Queen."
All at once on the same day.
All at once, and Colin Taylor.
Well, he's the drummer in Queen, isn't he?
Tim
Baxter? No, Tim Baxter.
Didn't Tim Baxter shoot Jill Dando?
Right, so who have we got this week on the underwhelming? Are we delayed or something?
No, we're not delayed. No, I just keep interrupting you.
So who have we got this week on the underwhelming celebrity encounter?
Right, well, this week's underwhelming celebrity encounter comes from Bright Ambassador, who is a sometime reader of the site. Hardly ever comments, does he? Or she? Is it he? No, it's a he, isn't it?
I think he reads Watch With Mothers for research purposes more than anything else.
Really? What, the masturbatory research?
Well, just so that he knows what simpletons are talking about.
Right, so he can keep his finger on the pulse of idiocy.
Precisely.
Lovely. Right. Well, anyway, shall I read what he said?
Go ahead, yeah.
Right, this is lovely, this. My mum used to work with Norman Pace's mum in a school kitchen. Brackets, he was off of Halen Pace, close brackets.
Hang on. Now, I know Norman Pace immediately.
Yes, but he's not very overwhelming, is he? And he certainly isn't whelming.
No, but he was big in the 80s, wasn't he?
He was big in the 80s, and how long ago was that now? If you showed a picture of Norman Pace, who actually, I can't remember, was he the one with the beard or was he the one without the beard?
Gareth was the one with the moustache. No one had a beard.
See, they're already slipping from memory. I thought one of them had a beard, like Dave Lee Travis.
No,
he's the only one. I think he's the only person in the world with a beard, isn't he?
No, there's Noel Edmonds as well.
Oh, of course, Noel Edmonds. And now I come to think of it, Brian Blessed. Whispering Brian.
If it was Gareth Hale, then it would definitely be whelming. As it's Norman Pace, I guess we can qualify that as an underwhelming celebrity
that
encounter.
That is an underwhelming celebrity. If you were to show a photograph of Norman Pace to, let's say, a 20-year-old, they might just go, I keep thinking breath fresheners.
Why?
Because they used to advertise Clarets in the early 90s as their comedy bouncer character. See, you've even forgotten that. That qualifies that.
Yeah, well, I think what we should do at the end of this section each week is, every other week, is discuss whether or not it qualifies. And that one, Bright Ambassador, qualifies.
Well done, Bright Ambassador. You've got us off to a rip-roaring start. And I think... Do you want to discuss the encounter itself, or should we just leave it as it is?
Well, is there more to it? Yeah, come on, give us some more.
Well, no, I'm just saying that his mum, you know, I mean, it's the beauty of this particular anecdote is it actually had nothing to do with him. That is a true underwhelming celebrity encounter. They get even more underwhelming if you didn't even meet the celebrity. This is a double whammy because he didn't meet the celebrity and it's got nothing to do with him. It's his mum who used to work with the celebrity's mum. So that's double underwhelming.
It's an encounter by proxy, isn't it?
Exactly. I mean, that's not quite as good as, my uncle once went out with this woman whose father used to be friends with a friend of Kenneth Williams, but they fell out.
You lucky bastard.
Yeah, exactly. Now, that's the sort of anecdote you bring out at the end of the evening. Oh, by the way, just when you want to trump everybody else. Oh, by the way, did I happen to mention that my uncle, etc.?
Well, perhaps if you wanted to pick up a young lady in a bar, it could be your opening gambit.
Exactly. Did you know that I narrowly escaped the hammer of Peter Sutcliffe? And I'm a man! No, actually, that would be overwhelming.
So anyway, well done, Bright Ambassador. Thanks for kicking us off in style. There'll be more of those, because we've got a bit of a backlog already. So, yeah, thanks, Bright Ambassador.
Does he win a prize?
No, he doesn't win a prize.
I'm flying along on the potato of love. The potato is a winner. I'm flying along, and then later on, I'm gonna have it for my dinner. Oh, the potato of love spreads its love all around to all the lovers loving one another. The spud flies around, spreading love on the ground to your father, your mother, and your brother. Oh, for flying on high, a potato in the sky, the biggest spud you've ever seen. It's spreading its love, when it's time to say goodbye, I'm gonna smother it in beans. Oh, the potato of love wants the world filled with love. It doesn't want us to be single. It may be a spud, but it knows that love is good. It knows the human race should mingle. Oh, it knows the human race should mingle. Yeah, it knows the human race should mingle. It knows the human race should mingle.
That about wraps things up for this week.
Oh, is it me?
Well, yeah, you can speak if you want.
Well, exactly. We've done everything we set out on the list. We did the preamble. We did the Christmas review. That didn't go very well, did it, really?
It went all right.
Well, you say that. We did the underwhelming celebrity encounter. Thanks a lot for that, Bright Ambassador. And we should have had the song by now, shouldn't we?
I think that's going to be the high point. Well, the only high point.
I would say so. Did you enjoy the song?
When I heard what I've heard of it so far,
We're supposed to be talking about this after they've just listened to it.
All right. The song we just heard, you mean?
Yeah, the song we've just heard in our ears.
I thought it was beautiful.
It was one of the most beautiful songs I've ever heard. I would say that because I wrote it.
The lyrical wordplay was superb. The musicianship was incredible. What really made it stand out for me was the 80s synths.
Right, I wouldn't go that far. I would say that was the worst bit. You've turned what was a beautiful love song into something by also-ran rock band Journey.
Come on, Journey, they're actually having a rebirth at the moment.
Yeah, well, purely because their songs keep turning up on things.
Well, that's what a rebirth is.
No, it's not. A rebirth is when you shove it back up and... No, hang on. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year to you. And listeners, we'll be back next week with a celebrity special.
Yes, and can I just say that the celebrity that we're doing pleases nobody.
Pleases nobody, right?
Pleases nobody. If you get through the whole thing, you'll be braver men than us, because we're not even sure we're going to get through the whole thing.
Do many people hate Wogan? Is that what you're saying?
No, we're not doing Wogan, are we?
No, we're not doing Wogan. We're doing someone far more controversial.
We're doing who is perhaps Britain's most loathed celebrity. So, like I say, if we all get through it, we will just have the promise of Wogan a bit later on. Or it might turn into a Wogan one.
Yeah, that might happen halfway through. It might morph.
It might do, yeah, depending. So we'll just have to see. So, well, there we go. All it remains for us to say then, I suppose, is goodbye.
Goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye.
Bye.
What's with mothers? What's with mothers?